Good morning.
Good morning.
Earlier this month, I had an epiphany right here in this sanctuary. It was an epiphany about you. Epiphany about you, this community of faith, and this space, this sanctuary. I was sitting along the back there, right by the fireplace, listening to the questions following Raymond Moody's talk on near-death experiences. And I started to admire this space from a new vantage point. Usually I sit up here in the front. Looks different from there in the back. Can't say that anything new had been added to the sanctuary. Can't say that anything had been taken away. But for the very first time, I looked around and I realized that this community must have a special devotion or spirituality around St. Christopher. Because you have not just one, but two images of the saint right there along that south wall. I didn't really know that much about St. Christopher. Growing up, I knew that our neighbor Fran had a little statuette on the dashboard of her car, which I always admired. And I once asked my mom, why didn't we have art in our car? And she said, we don't do that. So I'll tell you, I was very impressed that you have two pieces of art of St. Christopher in your sanctuary. That day, I guess it was March 3rd, I started asking around. Some of the members of the community were there at that talk, and I asked, so what's the deal? Why do you have two images of St. Christopher in the sanctuary? No one I talked to could remember. So I went home and did a little research about the sanctuary, about this community, and I found quite a bit about these murals on the wall by William Keith, about the trees from the Santa Cruz Mountains. But the significance of St. Christopher eluded me. I couldn't find any evidence anywhere. And then I did what people of faith do. I prayed, and I reflected. When I had a deadline looming, I looked at my calendar, and I realized that the staff here would want to know the title of my sermon and the point of my sermon. Then I had an inspiration. It was kind of like the Epiphany Part 2. I see. You are a community of Christ bearers. Today just happens to be the Feast of the Annunciation, celebrated in many Christian communities, the day when Mary was told by the angel Gabriel that she is going to bear a son who is holy, a son who is called Son of God. She will bear Christ. Do the math. 9 months from today, we are going to be celebrating his birth on Christmas. Today is the day that she hears the news. And lo and behold, you have an image of Mary right here. And as I look at her, she may in fact have that look of astonishment. She might be looking upward at the angel Gabriel. She might have a baby bump. Be a little early if she's just being told she's going to bear Christ. She looks a little happy. I can imagine Mary being a little anxious, being a little nervous, being told that she's going to bear Christ. But there you have in your sanctuary one Christ bearer, Mary. And then over there, two. After all, the name Christopher comes from the Greek meaning Christ bearer. And there, right across the sanctuary, in a direct line, the little statue of Christopher there and this beautiful glass window of Christopher there. So you have three Christ bearers, three images of two different Christ bearers here in our midst. I'll admit I had to refresh my memory on the story of St. Christopher. What do you remember of the story of St. Christopher? Anything? Nothing?
Kids I went to school with wore St. Christopher medals.
A lot of people wore St. Christopher medals, kids you went to school with. My neighbor had a little statuette on her car.
Patron saint of travelers.
Why?
Didn't you take Christ across the water?
Yeah, that's the spoiler. That's the spoiler of the story. Let me tell you the story. It starts a long time ago during the dark days of the Roman Empire, during the reign of Decius. He killed Christians for what they believed. In a remote province, there was a governor and his wife. The governor had not converted to Christianity. After all, he wanted to keep his job. The wife had converted to Christianity. Somewhat unusual for the third century for a powerful woman to convert to Christianity. But she had heard stories of Jesus. She had heard stories of the Virgin Mary. And she had heard stories about the Apostola Apostolorum, Mary Magdalene, and she was impressed. So she converted to the faith, and she prayed to the Virgin Mary for intercession that she might bear a child of great faith. Lo and behold, she gave birth to a big, bouncing baby boy, 13 pounds at birth. Ah, yeah. And as you can see from the images, especially the window there, he grew up to be a big man. By some accounts, he was 7.5 feet tall when he reached adulthood. 300 pounds of stern muscle, just muscle. He was a big man. He was an earnest man. He wanted to dedicate his life to the bravest, most courageous leader he could find. And so he became the bodyguard for a king. After years of service, he realized this king wasn't the bravest man possible. After all, he was afraid of the devil. So he thought, oh, maybe I should serve the devil, Satan. And he found Satan and he became the bodyguard for the devil. And they were traveling along one day, and he noticed that the devil was afraid of a cross, the sign of the cross that they saw when two roads crossed. And he thought, this isn't the bravest man. What does this cross mean? And eventually he came to a raging stream, a very powerful stream, by which a hermit lived, a hermit who was a simple, faithful Christian. The hermit taught him in the instruction of faith, taught him about Jesus of Nazareth and about being a Christian. And Ophiaros, the name of this woman's son, said, I'd like to dedicate my life to him. And the hermit said, you can do nothing better than to use your body to ferry people across this river. This is the point, this is the narrowest point of this raging river where many travelers try to cross, but because the waters are so harsh, many people perish. But with the size of your body, you can safely transfer these people from one side to the other. So he took up this vocation and transferred people from one side of the river to the other. One day, a little child came, wanting transfer across the river. Ophiaros thought, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. This is just a little boy. I can take him. He hoisted him up on his shoulders and walked across the river. Can't say that the river was raging any more fiercely than usual, but as he got into the middle of the river, Ophiaros thought, gosh, this child is weighing more and more. It feels like I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. How can this be? When he got finally to the other side, and he struggled to get his last foot out of the river, onto the bank, and put the child down, he turned to the child and said, who are you that you weigh so much? And the little boy revealed, I am Christ, and I do bear the weight of the entire world, and you have borne me across the river. For this reason, I will baptize you, Christopher, Christ-bearer, and I thank you for your service. Christopher continued in this life of service for the rest of his life, bearing travelers across the river as if they are Christ. That's one version of the story. If you go home and Google the life of St. Christopher, you're going to find lots of variations. For example, in some versions, you might find that the hermit baptized Christopher. In some versions, you will find that Christopher wouldn't believe that this was the Christ child. So that staff that he's carrying gets turned into a palm tree miraculously because he needed a miracle to believe. And in some versions of the story, Christopher ends his life as a martyr, killed for what he looks like and for who he is, a Christian. Very little of any of these versions of the story are factual. In 1969, Christopher was one of many saints who was decommissioned, taken off the calendar of saints by the Roman Catholic Church, because he was considered to be a conflation of stories of various people. There was no historicity to him. And yet people still believe in the story. I think people believe in the story of St. Christopher. People still continue to wear St. Christopher medals, have statuettes in their cars, because many times stories are true without being factual. Saints' lives, or the stories that we tell about holy people, are like that. Perhaps not all factual, but a whole lot of truth in them. What makes saint stories true is how we tell them. The stories that we tell about holy people in our lives reveal the truths found in our own faith. So I want to ask you, how is it that you are going to tell the story of Saint Christopher? How do you tell the story of Christopher, both individually and as a community? On any given day, I might tell the story of Christopher differently, give different variations to different nuances. Today, on this feast day of the Annunciation, when Gabriel tells Mary that she will bear the Son of God, Christopher and Mary are both Christ bearers. For Mary, her life was transformed into a life of service and faith when she was chosen and when she accepted to nurture and give birth to Jesus and to rear him. For Christopher, his life was transformed into a life of service and faith when his sheer bulk, his huge body, was put into service to ferry travelers across the dangerous and raging stream. Both Mary and Christopher ended up bearing Christ, carrying Christ in this world. And isn't that what each of us is called to do in our own way, in our own lives of faith? Oscar Romero, the Archbishop of El Salvador, who was assassinated 32 years ago yesterday, while he was saying Mass, wrote, "Some want to keep the gospel so disembodied that it doesn't get involved at all in the world it must save. But Christ is now in history. Christ is in the womb of the people. Christ is now bringing about the new heavens and the new earth." Romero grew into his faith as Archbishop, coming in time to recognize that his vocation, that is, how he was called to bear Christ, was to be an advocate for the poor and the oppressed, and to live in solidarity with the poor of El Salvador. Ultimately, he gave his life giving witness to his faith, living to serve the poor and bearing Christ in his world. Most of us won't be called to bear Christ in such public ways. Yet each of us is called to bear him in our world today, through our lives with our bodies. Perhaps it's by cooking dinner, singing in the choir, playing the organ, putting food out for hospitality after church, giving a smile to a stranger. Whatever it is within our reach. I would be remiss if I did not recite the famous words attributed to Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. When I started reflecting on this spiritual message for today, I thought, what a gift this sanctuary has for all of us who enter. This beautiful sanctuary and these three beautiful images of two distinct bearers of Christ, Mary and Saint Christopher. And then I realized, no, there are so many other reminders in this sanctuary. Each of us bears Christ in our lives. Each of us is a Christ bearer. And for this, I am thankful.